We'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful for another opportunity to continue our pursuit of your truth. Our prayer is that as we provide the positive volition, the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us regarding those things we're about to study. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We are in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And where we left off had to do with the distinguishing between the words Zoe and Bios, both translated life. Zoe is found in our passage. You can see the phrase here, lambano and Zoe here. And it's not, Bios is not found in there. And so in our context, Zoe refers to the believer's advance to experiential sanctification and imputation of escrow blessings in time. Now, resuming, we note that the present tense of lambano, which you see on the board there, is perfective. It's a perfective present, which indicates the continuation of existing results. It therefore refers to what has come to be in the past. That's advanced to spiritual maturity, but emphasizes the present reality. That would be escrow blessings conveyed in time. So we're going to see escrow conveyance first in time, then in eternity in this verse. The active voice of lambano indicates that the mature believer produces the action by receiving escrow blessings in time from the justice of God. Now, it's interesting to note here that the word is receive in life. Receive is lambano, and it is in the active voice. Generally speaking, when you receive something, it's in the passive voice. So how is it that to receive something is something that you produce? Well, you produce it by growing in grace to spiritual maturity. That is what conveys what you already possess, which is your escrow in time. So the active voice here is in place. Now, the participle is circumstantial, indicating that this conveyance is dependent upon positive volition by the believer. You will not make the advance unless you're positive to the Word of God. So you have this concept of the circumstantial participle in play here. It requires your free will to utilize the opportunity, the privilege of studying the Word of God and advancing in the plan of God. That ultimately will provide you with the reward you already possess, but you must have the capacity for it before it will become a reality in your life. And therefore, this motivates your advance to maturity. The first a fortiori reads, much more they who receive in life. What they receive is escrow blessings in time, indicated by the phrase tein perisaion tais charistas. And we have that word phrase translated, this abundance of grace. We have surplus here, and that's fine. Surplus, abundance, overplus. That is the idea. And when you have this concept here, the surplus from the source of grace, you're looking at things that go beyond the grace pipeline that provides logistics. This goes beyond logistics. You can always depend on the fact that you will have food, clothing, and shelter. May not be what you like to eat. May not like the house you're living in. You're out of the rain. The food you eat, clothing, and so on. Maybe not up to what you had hoped. But that is what the Lord has provided for the moment, and you are to thank Him for it. That's logistics. You will always be out of the rain, hopefully the cold in the wintertime. And it's cold in the wintertime is when I start shutting down. I'm not used to this after even 25 years of it. And we have heat at the house. I love that. I have a heater in my office that I turn on, and Johanna swears there's not one bit of oxygen in the room, but I am warm. We have food. We have the freezer full of food, dead animals, and that kind of thing. So we're good. Happy as punch with that. That's logistics. Everybody can give their testimony of what's in their freezers and so on. Now, it may be weenies, but you can eat weenies and get by. We've survived on graham crackers and peanut butter. You can too. Point is there something more than that? And please do not think of material items. Material items may well be involved in your escrow. But what is the most important are those things that are spiritually associated. It has to do with confidence in the hostile environment of the devil's world. It has to do with a relaxed mental attitude that goes far beyond a basic problem-solving device. It is the understanding of what is going on around you. The discernment of what takes place on a daily basis that others are confused and bewildered by. Today, people are upset. They are disconcerted over what is going on in the economy, what's happening to the military, what's going on at the borders. I mean, the list is long and varied. Are you concerned about this? Well, of course we should be concerned, but we'd not be discouraged. There are reasons for this. There are many things that occur in a nation's history that simply are messages to those who have wisdom that things are not well in the Commonwealth. They're not well because of poor decisions that have been made over a long period of time. And you have the confidence of knowing God will not forever put up with this crap. He is allowing things to occur to capture the attention of the population that things have gone amiss with the philosophies and the ideologies that are prevalent at the moment. For them to fail is necessary. God will not allow them to prosper. Let it take its path. Let it cause people chaos and ruin. Ultimately, it will dawn on the population, we have taken the wrong path. We need to go back to what works. We need to read Russell Kirk. We need to understand his concept of the permanent things. We need to go back to the societies and the governments in the past that have experimented and found what worked and what did not. They have found through experimentation, through societies, through millennia, that traditional concepts work within a society. And those things that go toward collectivization do not. God will not allow it. And people have to be retaught these things over and over again, because as one generation dies out and it has not conveyed these principles to the upcoming generation is ignorant of it and must be taught yet again. And that's where we are today. We know, however, what our future is. We're not discouraged by this, and we're willing to bite the bullet if necessary for others to get the message. So what is part of the escrow is this confidence, this knowledge, this relaxed mental attitude that goes way beyond basic problem-solving devices. It is a way you can enter life with great confidence and courage each day and even be amused by the delusions of grandeur that plague the souls of so many in power. So we have here this first a fortiori. The phrase opens with accusative singular direct object from the definite article tain, used as a demonstrative pronoun typical of classical Greek, and is translated this, referring to something relatively near in context. So we have this. I've punched the wrong button somewhere so that when I hit this thing, it goes crazy. So there's no need for me to point at it because you can't see me point at it. So I'll just use the word. This. Tain is translated this. This surplus of grace. Now, this refers back to verse 15 where we read this. The grace of God and the gift of grace through one man, Jesus Christ, who provided superabundance of blessings. We've already noted has to do with escrow for both time and in eternity. And it's referencing back to that. To the many who are what? Mature believers. It is the mature believer that can depend upon the conveyance of his escrow. So what follows in verse 17 are references to the two categories of escrow blessings. First mentioned are the escrow blessings in time and the means of their conveyance. The conveyance of the temporal escrow is found in the noun parousia, and it refers to the abundance or the surplus. This is a surplus of grace, a surplus of blessings that come to you because of your advance in God's plan. If you want to be a good soldier for Christ, you have to become more knowledgeable about what He would have you do. We just prayed for Mark Davey. You can look in the bulletin here and see some other ranks. But you take Brett Turner as a lieutenant colonel. It's my understanding he's very close to becoming a full colonel. There were some generals that were mentioned here. I think it's important to point that out. We've got a couple of guys that are generals. Charles Simmons is a lieutenant colonel, and we've got a general in here somewhere. It escapes me. But when you make the advance, you don't just join the military and say, I'd like to be a general. Okay. I'm signing up for general. Or another guy might say, yes, sir, I'd like to join the Marine Corps, and I want to be a colonel. And I'd like to start tomorrow, and I'd like to get the right array of spaghetti on my shoulder and everything. I'm ready to start. Gung-ho. And they say, well, son, you don't know enough to be a colonel. You don't know enough to be a general. There's a lot of learning to do here. We have to start with the basics. You know, you have to go to basic training. You have to have a guy call you dirty names. I don't think they call you dirty names anymore. That would be insensitive. We've got guys out there being shot at, have bombs going off from people's bellies. And, of course, you can't holler at someone and call them a dirty name anymore. I don't know what they're doing playgrounds today. I guess playgrounds is where you can actually call a dirty name now. I don't know. But as soon as the progressives find out about that, there'll be dirty name police on playgrounds. You can't say that. But in the military, we have to get these guys oriented on authority structure. It's not what you think ought to be done. It's what that guy up in the front of the group thinks ought to be done. And his life, his job, his career depends on you getting that message. And so you go through that. And you wind up being whatever the bottom rank is. And Gary's got some words for bottom ranks that are insensitive. So that has to be endured. And then you get another promotion, and years pass. Decades pass. 3 decades pass. And you make it to general. Now, there are a lot of blessings, if we can use the military as an example, that come to those of these higher ranks. They have many privileges that come to them that these non-coms don't have. Many privileges, not to mention the retirement package. Well, how do you get all of that? You have to gut it out for 3 decades. That's how you do it. How long have you been in Bible doctrine? 3 decades? Do you know more now than you did 30 years ago? Are you more prepared? Better informed on how to serve Christ? Do you know the right things to do, generally speaking? What's wrong to do because the Word of God discourages that? Somebody walked in the door today and heard the gospel for the first time and believed in Christ. Is their escrow going to come to them tomorrow? It is not. And there are those who've been in doctrine. No, scratch that. Those who've been going to church for 30 years. And don't know much more than the guy that just got saved today. Is their escrow coming down the pipeline? It's not. I'm trying to give you understanding of the principle of capacity. The blessings are there for the taking, but you must have the capacity to receive them. Otherwise, it will destroy your life. And therefore, it requires you to have an interest in the Word of God. That's the primary motivation. Interest in the Word of God. Taking it into your soul. Applying it to your daily lives with the primary intent of learning how to be a good soldier for Christ. And that's it. And you have that desire and that motivation, and you move forward day by day by day. And you don't do it for the blessing. You do it for the idea of serving God, and when you have the capacity, then He will unleash the surplus. And that's what's being said here. And the surplus is in time, and it has a great deal to do with your entire worldview and mental attitude. There are physical things that are involved, but your package is different from everyone else's. It's what makes you a believer who has been blessed exceedingly abundantly. What could that be for you? You don't even know. You don't have any idea what it is that would max out your life. It's in the escrow. How do you get there? Capacity. And how do you get that? Serve Christ. How do you do that? You have to know the Word. It's a system. Pretty neat one. The conveyance of the temporal escrow is found in the noun parousia and refers to abundance or surplus. At salvation, all believers are imputed a multiplicity of assets which are to be utilized by them to facilitate becoming a good soldier for Christ. When escrow blessings are conveyed, they are referred to as a surplus beyond assets imputed to all. Everyone in here got an imputation at the moment of salvation with the 40 things that come to you automatically. You've got a big package of assets, divine operating assets. May not even know what they are, but they're available to you for the advance. There are actually rewards for making the advance, while at the same time their source is the grace of God, indicated by the definite article tase that indicates a reference to something in context, namely the grace of God and the gift of grace, again found in Romans 5:15. The direct object is the ablative of source from the noun charis, translated from the source of grace. And so you have the surplus, this surplus from the source of grace, this referring back to the escrows mentioned in verse 15. Now, a question may arise as to how a reward based on works can be considered grace. For works, in the context of the advance, has to do with you producing things from internal inventory motivated by the Holy Spirit. Well, it's this concept. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now that you're saved, the advance requires production, and that production is classified as works. You go to work for God, and that's the Christian way of life. And in order to accomplish that, many grace concepts are provided. You grow in grace. That's provided by the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry. And as you grow in grace, other grace concepts begin to emerge as you learn the Word of God. The grace concepts are overwhelmingly giving credit to the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, the good work that you do is the good work performed under His ministry and His leadership. So a question arises how a reward based on works can be considered grace. The answer is that each believer's escrow account was imputed in eternity past, and that by means of grace. And the conveyance is dependent upon one's spiritual growth, a process that itself is by means of grace. For example, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Now here is the corrected and expanded translation for Romans 5:17 as far as we've gone. For if by the transgression of one, that's Adam's original sin, spiritual death ruled through that one, and it did, much more they who receive in life, that's lambano in zoe, those who receive in life this surplus from the source of grace, the surplus is escrow blessings and time, that's characterized here as tain, parousian, tais, karyas. And that is escrow blessings and time to winners. Then we have the next phrase. The a fortiori logic contends if God, from the requirement of His righteousness and the function of His justice, condemned Adam and the human race, it followed that He can do the less by conveying blessings and time to the mature believer. I would reiterate what I noted for you in the first session. Unfathomable intellect figured out in eternity past what to do about the fall of man, which omniscience informed him would occur. It was Adam and Esau's free will. They were given volition. It is the issue in the appeal trial. So their volition must be free to either continue to serve God in Eden or not. And the way they serve Him is do what you want, but stay away from the tree. And if you eat of that fruit, There are going to be things that will instantly occur. You will instantly die spiritual death, and you will begin a process that will result in your physical death. And the decision to eat, spiritual death. The consumption of the fruit begins the process. It affected the DNA all the way down to progeny. Now, with that in mind, keep in mind that God, Jesus Christ, namely, created that tree, that seed, that tree, that fruit. And that fruit was so designed that it would result in the condemnation of the entire human race once consumed. Brilliant. Everybody's in the same circumstance. Everybody has the same exit visa. What think ye of Christ? Free will. Some will respond, some will not, but everybody has the same opportunity. They start from the same place. They have the same opportunity. They have the same end game if they believe, the same end game if they do not. Same with the angels. Some responded, some didn't. The lake of fire was created in eternity past for Lucifer and his angels, and now becomes the future residence of those who reject Christ in human history. Everything's fair. Everything's the same. All are condemned. All have the opportunity for salvation. Those who believe have eternal life. Those who don't go to the lake of fire. It was a brilliant plan. See, everlasting life is restricted to planet Earth. They could still be alive today if they had avoided the tree. When they ate the tree, then the process of aging began. By the way, have you noticed that you're aging? Joe Henner and I go to the home every day, one or the other of us. And I sit in rooms with people that are, I want to say the word pitiful, but that might be insulting. No. But as we sit around that room where they're fed, you see people that don't even know where they are. They stare into space, or their heads are hung down asleep. They strew food all over themselves when they try to eat. You know why it's that way for them? Same with everybody. They're getting older, as you're going to get older. If you want to see where you're going to be, go to a nursing home. That's you. That's where you're going to wind up. If God's not gracious, just up and die, wake up dead one day. That's the way to go, just wake up dead. That's it. But some people, it doesn't happen to everybody. But you see, there's an aging process, and you know, some of these people around here looking really good. Looking real good. Tack about, 60 years onto that. Drool. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm telling you, that's you. That's who you are. Not making fun, I'm telling you, there's an aging process. We all wind up in the same place, and the reason is you were born with a sin nature, and that's what causes the aging process. There was no aging prior to the fall. So obviously the sin nature is also functioning in such a way that there's an aging process involved, a process that moves forward to physical death. And the question is, this life is a brief shadow. And you strut and fret your hour upon this stage. What you going to do during your hour? What's your hour going to be like? Will people remember you when you're gone? Will they care? Will they say, thank you, Jesus? Or will there be people who actually cry at your funeral? I'm not trying to be macabre here. I'm trying to get you to focus on what goes on in a person's life. You're here for a brief moment. The reason you're here is to decide whether or not you will serve God or serve Lucifer. If you decide to serve God, get with the program. Grow in grace. Great blessings are in store. And therefore, when it comes time for you to get that exit visa out of here for heaven, there are people over there, I tell you, that wish that they could breathe their last. Let me go be with Jesus and General Lee. I just want to go. But God decides when you die. God decides this. Unfathomable intellect of the God of this universe created a tree whose fruit was created to affect the DNA of any that ate it with the old sin nature. Planned divine response to this was universal condemnation. And that set the stage for salvation and eternal life. So he makes this transfer from the escrow's depositor in heaven by means of Jesus Christ, who is the escrow officer. See, here's how it works. Escrow blessings distributed to the mature believer. God the Father is a grantor. He provided each believer special blessing in eternity past, according to Ephesians 1:4. But he did not, obviously it's eternity past, he can't impute it before we're created. And therefore, he put it on deposit. And if we're not created, where would the deposit be? It would be in heaven. And who is going to take care of it in the interim? It would be an escrow officer. So Jesus Christ acts as the depositary for the believer's blessings for time and in eternity. He holds them in escrow. Ephesians 1:4 and 6, 1 Peter 1:4. And then when there are the few who make the advance and have the capacity for these blessings, there is a distribution. And the distribution is to the believer who is the grantee of the escrow, who glorifies God by being the recipient of these riches in his matchless grace, Ephesians 1:7. And the principle underneath is distribution is contingent upon reaching spiritual maturity. And we can back up one and see that spiritual maturity is right here. Oh, I need to quit doing that. You will note in stage 3, you've got spiritual maturity. How did these things reach that level? Well, take a look up top where you have problem-solving devices 7 and 8. This has to do with personal love for God. Note how deep you have to get before you truly understand that concept of personally loving God. A love for God. And then when that occurs, you can personally love your fellow man. And John, 1 John says, if you claim you love God but hate your brother, which means your fellow believer, then you're in the dark side. You're in the dark side. All right? So you got to get that managed. In spiritual self-esteem, you're not even in spiritual autonomy yet if you can't manage these two. But then when you do that, you're in spiritual autonomy and you become cognitively independent. See, you have the self-consciousness that goes beforehand with spiritual self-esteem. A lot of people have too much self-esteem today. You realize that, don't you? But then spiritual autonomy means you have an inventory where you can conduct your spiritual life without having to run to people and say, what should I do here and all that business. And therefore, you're independent, independent functionary in the angelic conflict. And therefore, you move into the concept of sharing the happiness of God. See, that would be an escrow blessing right there, wouldn't it? To share the happiness of God. And that brings you to the point of momentum testing. In order to get through momentum testing, you have to have a happiness in your soul because there's so much unfairness involved in that level of testing. And then when you pass that, you're spiritually mature. And that qualifies you for these escrow blessings in time. And therefore, you get motivated for the fact that there will be more in eternity in three phases, which we'll eventually note in our midweek studies. There's phase 1, evaluation tribunal of Christ. Phase 2, the millennial kingdom. Phase 3, the eternal state. And there's an escrow package involved in all three of those areas of future history. So this process is referred to in the next phrase, which is introduced by the ascensive conjunction chi, which expresses a final addition or point of focus. The two statements are so closely related that they are linked together, and this is usually translated even. See if I've got back up one here. Yes, I put it even here. Even the gift of righteousness. And what follows then is that phrase, and this refers back to the introductory verse of chapter 5. This is how chapter 5, verse 1 reads. Therefore, having been justified by faith. That's how you get saved. That's how it results in the imputation of God's righteousness, and that results in your justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, let us have prosperity face to face with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And prosperity has to do with the prosperity of escrow blessings. So even the gift of righteousness, which is the target of escrow conveyance. Now, we're running out of time, so I want to run down to a slide right here. Escrow blessings, deposit, target, conveyance. The deposit was eternity past. God created an escrow account for every believer in time. Omniscience informs him of who these will be. God doesn't preemptively decide who's going to believe. The issue in the angelic conflict is free will. Because he has omniscience, he can look into human history, into the future, and have cognizance of who believes in Christ and who does not. Therefore, for each of those he is able to perceive, believing in Christ, he therefore constructed an escrow account. Into it goes those blessings that he knows will bring that person maximum happiness. It varies with the individual. And so, in eternity past, there was this deposit. And that deposit is left on account with Jesus Christ in heaven as escrow officer. What is the target? Each person who in time believes in Christ receives the imputation of divine righteousness. That becomes the target for that individual. Then he qualifies with the imputation of divine righteousness for the conveyance of his escrow. What is required for conveyance? Capacity, spiritual maturity. Now these things are documented, for example, deposit, Ephesians 1:3, target, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and capacity, Romans 5:17, which we're studying. So justification occurs when the justice of God imputes divine righteousness to the believer at the moment of salvation. Now let's back up to this one we've just noted. For blessings to be conveyed to a believer, there must be a target for the transfer. Therefore, the believer has the target for the escrow established at the point of salvation, but he must acquire capacity before they can be conveyed. And so this visual here links up with this one here. These two together show you the process. Perfect God can only bless a perfect object. The perfect operational divine dynasphere is a gift to the believer by God, proved reliable by Jesus Christ's true humanity during the incarnation. So that sums it up. We've got more to go here, but I'll call this off right now. But this sums it up. You have all of the imputations that occur at the moment of salvation, including a system in which you can function. It has been proved effective by Jesus Christ during the incarnation. It worked perfectly for him. And therefore, he's demonstrated that it works. It has been given to you in the church age. You have this system called the divine power system or the divine dynasphere. It is operational for you under the filling of the Holy Spirit. With that system in place, you can move forward in the plan of God, acquire what is called here capacity, and therefore receive the escrow. There's escrow in time, there's escrow in eternity, both of which are addressed in Romans 5:17, and we will resume this analysis next Sunday morning. Now, Father, we're grateful to you for the opportunity and the privilege of studying your word. We're grateful to you for the phenomenal package of blessings that began in Eden, the ramifications of which come down to the present hour. May we be motivated and encouraged by the magnificence of this plan which you have provided for us, that we would take advantage of the assets, that we would be interested in the process and motivated to continue our pursuit. And we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethum thai e in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. Now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?